Today on Real Radio.
Listen, let me give you a little trick also about getting prayed for. When you're sick, don't ask some adult person to pray for you. Don't underestimate the size of those people.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 14 that's often examined and over-examined and debated among Christians of all denominations. In chapter 14, Paul addresses the practice of speaking in tongues. And Pastor Jack's been breaking down the text to sort of demystify it for us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his series called God-Ordained Priorities.
Six times in a very short portion of Scripture, he's going to mention the words here to understand. Our God-ordained priorities, church, is this, that we understand these three ways. Number one, that we understand our work. Will you jot that down? That we understand our work. These gifts are not given to confuse us, but to make things clear. Now, having said that, listen, don't respond, just check your own heart. Inside of you, is there a longing, a burning, a desire? Is there a haunting, gnawing question in your mind? I mean this all in a good way. I think there's more for me in my Christian walk. I think there's more. Have you ever had that?
Yes.
Don't you have it?
Yes.
God, I know there's something more. This is not the reason why I was born. This is not the only reason why being a Christian, as great as it is, this is not the only reason why I'm alive. Regarding my Christianity, regarding my life, there's got to be more. If you today are saying in your heart, Pastor Jack, that strikes true to a chord in my heart. I have that burning. It's down so deep. Some of you today are saying, I used to have that burning, but it went out. And just you speaking about it, Pastor, is causing my heart to burn again. Yes. That's exactly what God wants to do, is to stir you up. To get you, can I put it this way? Dreaming big dreams again. God, would you use me? Do you want to use me? Oh, listen, Christian, if you are a Christian, God says, I want to use you. None of his children said it out. And it is an awesome thing that God has called us to a work. And so he says that there are these tongues that are spoken in the world here right now. It is English and it's understood. We have a dialogue going on right here between heart and mind. Easily understood. But when someone speaks publicly in an unknown tongue, the Bible says that there needs to be an interpreter present. That is an interpreter. Notice it's not the word translator. Oh, I can translate Russian. Well, that's great. But that's not what Paul's talking about. It is not the gift of translator. It's the gift of interpretation. See, listen, you and some of you have been polluted by some of these. Because over the years, you've seen abuses and have negated the word of God completely in this area because there's kooks like these people. Nothing personal. It's just for illustration. Where they would say, man, I'm not going to go to church. There's people running around barking, carrying on. Listen, that ain't going to happen. So how do you know? Because it's not biblical. Okay? Very, very important. And so God is desiring that you and I understand that he's got a work for us to do, but he didn't give us the tools. I mean, he didn't withhold the tools. He gave us the tools. I'm going to share this. I probably shouldn't for time's sake, but it's on my heart right now. You guys, and I can say this because Lisa's not here right now. She'll come to second service. Although it was my fault. My garage, you couldn't walk through my garage without endangering your life. Do you know what I'm saying? There was a trail through my garage, and you had to go like this, okay? And I've had since 1979, I have had a 1967 Volkswagen Bug, and I'm about ready to get it back from the shop that's getting all dolled up and fixed up because it had just been parked in my garage since 1992. not driven once since then, so it needed to get all new life put back into it. And so it's coming home soon. So what did I do? I opened the garage door and I said, oy vey. And I began working on the garage and cleaning it up and getting it ready and straightening it out. And you know what's so funny? You guys, you are looking at a mechanical idiot right here, right now, okay? And so I've got about 3 screwdrivers. I have a crescent wrench. I think that's what it's called. I do have a rusty hammer. And it's very funny because I bought now some garage. I mean, you guys, it looks like a man garage. And yet, I know the truth. I know the truth. I don't know which end of the hammer to hold. But man, people have driven by my house now with somehow, I don't know how I left the garage door open. The floor has been painted, the walls, and people driving by and they're looking. And look, they're like, wow, look at that, transformation. You know what though? I don't know how to use a tool. Listen, it's not about the church showing off. It's what it can do. Okay? My garage is fit for somebody who knows how to use tools. It happens to be my garage, but I don't know how to use that garage. Listen, Jesus wants to take a church, this one, and radically make you a tool in his kingdom for work. An amazing work that God wants to use you in and use you with and through. And so what we want to do is say, Lord, I want to be the tool that you want to use for the building of your kingdom. And then he says, far out, excellent, awesome. I'm going to give you these gifts of the Holy Spirit that my spirit will use uniquely in your life, and I'm going to use you. Are you willing? Remember last time together, I asked you, are you willing? That's the whole thing. Yes, I'm willing. And watch out, the rest of your Christian life will be radical. It is amazing. God wants to do a great work. Secondly, understand our source. The source is the Holy Spirit himself, but there's more to it than that. When I say source in verses 14 to 17, I'm talking about, watch this, mark it down, an attitude. The Holy Spirit, when he gets a hold of you, will change your attitude, and I mean specifically in the area of praying. Verse 14, for if I pray, mark it, highlight that, if I pray in a tongue, an unknown language, this is not one that is known. This is one that is spoken privately, alone. My spirit prays. Circle the word spirit, lowercase s. This is the born again you. When you were born again, your spirit came alive. The Bible says, before we were born again, we were spiritually dead. The lowercase s indicates you, or in this case, Paul. He says, my spirit prays. That is the born again you. Isn't that amazing? The inside of you, the eternal you, born again, heading to heaven, but my understanding, my brain, my English mind is unfruitful. I don't get it. Verse 15, what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. Notice, my friends, I will pray with the Spirit. What does that mean, Christians? Every Christian should be praying. As we ended our last time together on this challenge, every Christian is to be praying alone in the Spirit like that. You say, Pastor, I never heard this before. Read your Bible. It's right here. Isn't that fantastic? It's right there. Get alone with God. Do you remember your homework? What was your homework? That you were going to go get alone and pray like this. Did you do it? Fail. F, all of you, fail. It's so amazing. And so he says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? If you're sitting in the church and somebody starts praying in a tongue or speaking in a tongue with no interpretation in a public setting, which is different than prayer, but in a public setting, the apostle says, why would you do that? Why would you start shooting your mouth off with no interpretation taking place for the body of Christ? Nobody's going to be edified about that. This is not the place for that to happen. The Holy Spirit will not have that happen in a setting like this. There is a setting where he would have it in a public sense. And so the Holy Spirit within the Christian, specifically in this area of him being our source, note this, publicly, there is the speaking of tongues publicly. that cannot take place unless there is the gift of interpretation in the same room present. This is amazing. So crystal clear. But Paul says, privately, when nobody else is around, there's no need for the gift of an interpreter or interpretation. Why? Paul says, when I pray, I don't know what I'm praying. I don't know the words. My spirit prays. And our last time together, I shared with you how powerful that form of connection in prayer is with God. It is power. And my dear friends, listen this morning. If you have never prayed like that in your life alone with God, I'll issue the challenge again. You've got to go get alone with him and pray like that. Trust me, I've said it before. It bears repeating. You will feel like an idiot, but nobody's around, so who cares? And then you're going to think, gosh, angels are going to think I'm dumb if they're watching this. Who cares? You will be praying, conversing with God. I cannot explain the results. But trust me when I tell you, I can pray an hour in my English tongue about an issue and still feel as though I've missed the target. Still feel as though the heavens are brass. And then spend 5 or 10 minutes praying alone in the spirit and you can feel the burden lift. And I can, if apparently some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, my dear Christian friend, you no longer need to carry the load. I won't look in his direction, but Russ is battling for his life right now. He's over there, so I'm looking over here. I don't want to embarrass him. He's battling for his life. And there's a time I would sense that when you come to the point where, how do I pray? When the doctor says one more thing that in normal sense would break your back. It's the news that broke the camel's back. We would say, I can't take it anymore. What do you do like that? You get on your knees or you stand up, you go take a walk. You can, it's awesome. You drive your car and you just pray to him like this. And I can't explain why and how it happens, but there is a direct current straight to the heart of God. And there's a connection that no one can take from you. I can't explain it. You just know that you know I've connected with God. Oh God, to you be the glory. Whatever the answer is, let it happen in my life. And you are freed. Is it your child? Is it your marriage? Don't come to me and tell me that your marriage is so messed up and you're giving up until you've prayed like that. There's nothing like it. And the church today is anemic because it's not going to God in spirit. My human understanding is biased when I pray in my normal thinking. I'm so biased. So are you. Don't look at me like that. So are you. When you pray, okay, God, here's the deal. What do you mean, here's the deal? God, I got this issue going on in my life, and here's what I want done. Excuse me? I'm biased when I pray with my understanding. I've got too much. Listen, let me give you a little trick also about getting prayed for. When you're sick, don't ask some adult person to pray for you. The children's ministry, those buildings over there, don't underestimate the size of those people. Amen. You know why they can pray amazing? First of all, they walk up. If you say, I'm sick, I need prayer. You know what they do? They go like this. Dear God, heal mommy, thank you, bye. And you're thinking, well, come on, can't you at least say it in old King James English, kid? They're not balled up. They're not messed up. They don't got all that stuff in their heart and head. And then look, well, can I pray for you? Yes, here's my problem. My leg is falling off. I'm going blind. My kidney just fell in the gutter. I have cancer. My cancer has cancer. You know what I'm saying? And you're telling me all the details. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, your life's ruined. And then you say, Pastor, can you pray for me? Yeah, sure. I'm overwhelmed. A little kid doesn't know the details, do they? They just say, dear God, heal Grandpa. In Jesus' name, amen. And they connect. You know why? Details. Kids don't want the details. They know God's big and you're sick. What else do you need? See, we want to analyze the whole thing. Tell me why, and this, and that. When I pray in my normal language to God, I've got too much detail, too much bias. I wind up praying, and I wind up talking to myself. Okay, this is what we're going to do. It's not prayer. God's probably out vacuuming or something while I'm praying. I'm using that avenue as like what I'm going to tell myself. It doesn't work that way. It is an attitude of prayer, and it is the Holy Spirit who's our source. How much so? Well, watch this. This is exciting. I honestly don't care if we have to do a part three on this because I love this. Are you guys okay? I love you guys. First service, you're such an experiment. I figure out what I learned from first to what not to do at second and third. Grab your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, about this prayer life. When you and I come to the place of arriving at the end of ourselves, it can be the most terrifying experience of your life. Or it can be when life begins to happen. I have found out in my own life that when I come to the end of myself, God is right there at that point to begin. Romans 8, 26. Are you sitting down? Listen, this is heavy. Paul says to the church at Rome, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You hear that? But the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit's a person, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit inside of the Christian knows you better than you know yourself. And the Bible says right here that the Spirit of God in you will pray for you to God with words or utterances that are not of your world and mine. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You understand that? No more should prayer be a bummer. It should be our catalyst. It should be the mixture. It's the volatile additive to the fuel. We don't need to go to church. It's just a prayer meeting. If you understand prayer, you'd knock the walls down to get in here. When people say, oh my goodness, you know, you got to pray for us. We've been brought to the gates of desperation. Pray for us. Well, number one, why'd you wait so long to pray? Number two, you don't pull prayer out when you're in your last ditch moment of desperation. I mean, of course you can, but he's always available to us. It's an attitude of prayer. We walk thinking, breathing, talking to God. Christians are amazing. We have an amazing life. Walking around, whatever you're doing, mowing the lawn, working, driving, eating. What are you doing? Attitude of prayer. No, Pastor, I have to bow my knees to pray. You can, but you don't have to because, listen, you can't always bow your knee. Listen, when your car's stalled on the train track and that train's coming, you're not going to get out and get on your knees. You're going to say, dear God in heaven, start this car, start it now. Attitude of prayer, wherever, whatever you're doing, in an attitude of prayer. Charles Ryrie of Dallas Theological Seminary gives this statement. Watch this, it's awesome. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. That is our inability to pray intelligently about a pressing situation. By prayer with unutterable groaning, we are enabled to surrender more efficiently or effectively to the will of God in that matter. These groanings referred are not in the words of languages of the earth. This available intercession is in accordance with God's will based upon Romans 8, 27. That is awesome. And we all need to pray like that. Unless your life is just so doggone perfect, then don't bother praying like that, I guess, huh? If your life is just so slick and cool and calm and perfect and all that, You don't need to cry out to God like this. For the rest of us, we need this. This private, personal aloneness with God, it is altogether awesome. The next thing, understanding our responsibility. Our God-ordained priorities is that we are understanding this, that we have responsibilities. Verse 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than with 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be as babes, but in understanding be mature. Simply this, he says in verse 19, yet in the church. He's speaking about in a public gathering, there's no need for tongues. In a smaller setting, yes. Privately, in prayer, yes. Verses 21 to 25, we'll see how far we can go. Third and final point, our God-ordained priorities is this, is that we are to be decisive. Decisive. Verse 21. In the law it is written, I'm going to ask you guys to circle that. It's powerful. Here's what's written in the law. With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, verse 22 says, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Mark these verses down. Mark this down. Decisive about the gospel. Church, listen. This is a big deal. Don't get confused. Context is everything. Paul earlier had said that tongues is for a sign to the unbeliever. Now he turns and says that it's to the believer. Then he reverses. Is he confused? No. It's the setting. It's the application. Watch this. In the law, and this to me gets very exciting. Verse 21, in the law it is written. What's he referring to? Well, listen, Deuteronomy 28 for starters. He's referencing the warning given in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Mark it down in your reference, in your margins. God warned Israel, if they would not believe in him, listen everybody, if they would not believe him, if they would not trust him, Holocaust would be determined upon the nation of Israel. Did you know that? You and I have Jewish friends who say, I don't believe in God because of the Holocaust. Have you ever heard that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at a section of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul addresses the issue of speaking in tongues and how they are to glorify our Maker and edify the believer. God-ordained priorities is the title of this mini-series, the conclusion of which we'll hear on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might have heard Pastor Jack say this in the past. He says, if you don't know Scripture, you'll never understand the conflict in the Middle East. It's true. You know, if you and I are left to our own devices without really knowing God's promises to historical figures like Abraham and Joshua, or without knowing the prophecies of Daniel and Zechariah, which are all recorded in Scripture, we might just walk away with an opinion that really is quite opposite of what the Word of God tells us. And so, we're offering a DVD called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's a presentation that was recently aired on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our TV program on hischannel.com. We hope you were able to catch that broadcast, but if you missed it, it's called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. That's the title of this two-part presentation on DVD. Now get this, we're offering it to you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Don't let what's going on in the Middle East confuse you any longer. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the banner right there that says What's Really Happening in the Middle East, realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send a gift of any amount to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, when you call, click, or write, be sure to mention the DVD by name, What's Really Happening in the Middle East. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.